Welcome back to iHealth Radio, the iHealth channel, the network. With your host, Hurricane H. As always, you know, we try to bring you some new exciting stuff. And today with me, I have a specialist. And I mean it. He's a doctor who specializes in something we all need. We all probably lack. So that is the subject of sleeping and sleep. And today, Dr. Bijoy John is going to join us and tell us a little bit about this massive lack that we see in our society. He's also an author. We're going to talk his new book. And so we're going to talk about a whole thing. There's quite a bit here, and that is an important piece. So, Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Hurricane. It's a pleasure. And sleep is so sacred. It's so special. I consider a sleep to be our superpower, right? But we all have it. It's free. It's for the taking. But we don't appreciate it. You know, we are going on sleep debt. Most of us are sleep deprived. And that's what inspired me to reach out to more people, because I've discovered the superpower of sleep. You know, I had my own struggles, and then I have my own strategies. I've helped hundreds of patients over the course of 25 years of my experience. And I wrote this book called Nobody is Sleeping. My mission is to teach how people to sleep better, discover their power. And we also heal in our sleep. We grow in our sleep. We are better human beings. I think the world needs better sleep, and so that we can all be better people and be more productive. That's my goal.
Well, thank you, Doug. That's a comprehensive, you know, I guess, introduction to the discussion. And really, it's, you said nobody's sleeping. I mean, I love that title. I mean, you can't get better than that. And someone can say, well, I do get enough sleep, but the question is how much sleep, and are you getting real sleep or just, you know, choppy sleep? So there's a lot of stuff. We all think we sleep and we all take those naps and so on and so forth. But you're right. It is something that is important. It's supposed to be it's designed for us as a human, you know, and even animals and humans equally, they have time dedicated for sleep. And in today's modern society, this thing is almost depleting. As you said, we're deprived. We're in debt when it comes to sleep. And so before we get into the deep dive, Doc, you know, just as for our audiences, I know you're a specialist today, you know, for the sleep, you know, in general, but you've also done other things. If you don't mind just telling us a little bit about your background so people can see like your transition and why you actually really picked up sleep.
So, you know, I went to med school when I was 17. I always wanted to be the best in the world. You know, Carl Lewis was the guy in the 1984 Olympics. He won 4 gold medals. So I'm going to specialize in something huge. So studies came naturally to me. So I came to America. I'm originally from India. And I specialized in 4 areas, right? So my background...
Wow.
My background is in telemedicine, then lung, then critical care and sleep. But always sleep was one of those things that was very fascinated me from a very young, you know, childhood. My mom taught me how to sleep. She taught me how to take naps. You know, during med school, I was able to, if I sleep better, I did the exams better, right? So cramming did not, staying up all night long did not, you know, help. So as a doctor, I didn't work in the ICU. I worked 80 hours, 100 hours sometimes. I, you know, managed. I was a shift worker during that time. So I didn't sleep well. And then when my mom died, I didn't sleep well. When I started my business, I didn't sleep well. But I found out the way. So as humans, different situations happen. So I'm also keenly focused in children's sleep too, because once you learn that as a child, you can always get back. All of us, our sleep is bad as we grow through responsibilities, family, job, stress, you know, all the other things that happen in our life. But if you have the fundamentals, we can do it. So in the ICU, when people do not sleep, they become delirious. So I was like, wow. And then I found out several sleep disorders that can affect your health, like, you know, conditions like sleep apnea is involved with diabetes, high blood pressure, and of course the cardiovascular risk, dementia, low sex, you know. So I said, wow, you know, as your life progresses, your philosophy changes. I did that ICU for 25 years. And then I'm like, instead of reactionary medicine, I said, I'm going to be in the preventative. I believe a lot of our problems can be controlled by sleeping better. You know, we are in a fog, mental fatigue, you know, we are in a not in a good head space because we don't sleep well. You know, that creates anxiety, that and the anxiety creates poor sleep. We are in a vicious cycle. By sleeping better, you can lose weight, you can improve your sex life, you can control your blood pressure, control your diabetes, you know, not to mention all the accidents. People are grumpy, people they don't get along with the coworkers and accidents. You know, there's only 1/3 of cars or vehicles at night, but 2/3 of all ha accidents happen at night. So it is, sleep is so important, and but it doesn't hurt like a toothache, so we ignore it. I've discovered it, so that's my transition. So I'm in this field of changing lives. By preventive medicine. So I think we can heal a lot of problems in today's world by sleeping better. But unfortunately, sleep is an ancient art. Sleep has met the match with the hustle culture. We hustle, 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 but we have to learn the old technique to function better in the new world.
Well, Doctor, thank you so much. Well, first of all, congratulations on a terrific career. I mean, it's not, I love it. I mean, four specialties, and they're all kind of extreme specialties. I mean, also ICU, you've seen quite a bit. I mean, that's the extreme level. I mean, other than the ER, ICU is the next care, right? And that's the biggest one. And it's pretty stuff. I mean, and you got the internal medicine, that's a general, you have the pulmonary, and then, of course, now you went to sleep. And I love what you said. You've been on the reactive, and now you're on the preventative. And that's also a big deal because, unfortunately, you and I, we had a brief discussion before the show, and we live in a world where it's more about, like, just business and things like that, and there is less, I guess, care, and there's less, focus on certain basic areas. And sleep, as you said, is an ancient art. It's something that's always been there. As a matter of fact, I think our problem today is more a how can I say it, a new age problem, because historically, people took naps. There's, like, as we call siesta, for example, in Mexico and Spain. I mean, that you go to Spain, between 12 and 4, everybody's snoozing, at least,
Chilling, yeah.
they're chilling, right? But we lost that art, right? And it is, even in cultures, in religious, beliefs, there is a potential of a need for sleep, and it's required. There's also the thing, the problem with sleep and when to sleep, because night versus day is two different things. Now, you as a doctor, and I love what you said, at least for our audiences, that's a heavy, when you go to school, med school is not easy. Everybody knows that, and it's a lot of hours. And by the way, even post med school, you're doing your rotations and stuff, and you put in all these long hours, and it's great. I mean, I said my mom was literally in the hospital. She just got discharged yesterday. And I was talking to the nurses, and they put in 12-hour shifts. I mean, I don't, and they nonstop, boom, 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 boom. Now, doctors, nurses, all, I mean, the pandemic, a couple of years back, same thing. People were like 24/7 pulling, double shifts and so on. It is a lot. And then that's not just that, the business world too. You get up. I mean, most of us commute 1 hour, 2 hours to get to work. Unfortunately, that's how it is in today's society. So you're up at 6 and you're back at, 7. Depends on the role. I mean, some, like, my job, for example, in historically, as in the business world, I mean, I started my day at 6, on the road. I'm home at 9, 10 o'clock at night. I mean, that's long hours. I've commuted 2 or 3 hours literally each way sometimes. So it is a tough place, and you don't get enough, because you basically get a few hours shut eye and you get up, and we are zombies. At least that's how I felt. I'm actually a big person about sleep, and I cannot function without it. And I love what you said. Without it, we have all the problems, and at night we have all these accidents because people are just, sleeping. I've had actually that instance personally where I literally slept on the wheel. That's that happened to me, and it was the most scariest event ever in my life. One of, probably the ones. And you're driving, and all of a sudden you're like, you're waking up going into a truck. I mean, luckily I didn't hit the truck. I pulled back, and my adrenaline kicked in. 24 hours later, I still couldn't sleep. That was a whole different experience. But yeah, so doctors, thank you for breaking that out. And I think we can break it down further, if you don't mind, doctor, in terms of, like, early days, going through school, and then going through the, I guess, the social and the business world. I mean, as we age and we get into our, as you said, responsibilities in life, right? But really, let's break it down, because you did say something very powerful. Your mom taught you how to sleep when you were a kid. And, you know, I do remember days when I was in kindergarten and, you know, early days where we had actually time dedicated to take a nap. You know, why is that lost as an art?
So this is it, buddy. This is it. This is a problem, the cell phone. So what we are doing, you know, we have to work, you know, we have to do exercise. We got to, you know, attend to our family. But this is our new best friend. It's the most addicting thing we ever invented. So where is that time coming from? We're all compromising on the time to sleep by using our time on cell phone. People are using 3, 4, 6, sometimes 8 hours. So somewhere along the line, it's coming from compromising sleep. You know, we have to sleep. I get this asked all the time. We should sleep about 7 to 8 hours so we get all the cycles and stages, the REM, non-REM. But what is happening is people are compromising 1 or 2 hours of sleep. Just imagine if you compromise 1 hour a night at one end of 1 week, that's 7 hours. That's one whole night. If you think like that, it adds up, you know. So people crash, you know, you build a sleep debt. And then you have your health lost and you're not happy at work, you know, relationships. So everything is the fabric of our life is gone. So the naps, it's very interesting. Naps, what happens, your brain actually, brain volume actually increases. So there's a natural lull in our body between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. And of course, 2 and 4 in the morning, we are absolutely sleepy. Those are the times you should be in bed. So all over the world, like siesta in India and all the, you know, Commonwealth countries, it's called the tea time, right? And, you know, some countries call it the reposo. We pause and we have to, we are not. So just imagine, Hurricane, have you ever gone to a meeting at 2 in the afternoon?
Never. Oh.
Because nothing gets done. So we know why, right? So we all clamor for 7 a.m. meetings. And the network knows 7 p.m. is the prime time. Like we are at prime time right now. That's when we are at our best. So if you can use all these things, imagine sports. I'm trying to get the attention of the NFL because my team, the Titans, they always play noon games. And the third quarter, they're in a slump. The worst quarter in the third quarter. Just imagine the NFL, the Lions versus the Niners. The Lions never showed up in the second half because it was 10 o'clock their time. The Niners are waking up to 7, 8. So they came and crushed in the second half. Everybody is wondering what happened. Hey, duh, it's right in front of me, right? So if we can use things to our advantage and position ourselves, you know, our brain is a big-time computer and a processor. It needs to break. You know, if you need to turn off your computer and the phones, then it can reset. So if you can find a way to sleep better, you will be more productive. There, most people are saying, let me work more and sleep less. It's the opposite. You have to sleep more and you will be achieve more in less amount of time because you're a superhuman being. I have discovered it. You know, I can, you know, crank it up because I've slept better. So thanks for being on this journey. You know, that's why I have the 7 proven strategies. I can go over that. You know, that I'm sure all your audience are like, hey, we're talking. Give us something. So I have an
acronym. We will. We will, Doc. We will. But you bring in so many awesome pieces of the discussion. I mean, first of all, the correlation that you just, you know, talked about, like, you know, the timing and how people come up to play, for example, at a certain time where they're not going to be 100% functioning. Nobody, I don't think anyone is really paying attention to that. And like, you know, thinking about like, what could be happening to these people? And it happens. I mean, you eat, you're tired, you know, like you said, at that time of the day, you're already depleted. Yes. You have no energy. So your performance is going to be suffering. But I wanted to just to touch on something though. You know, we've become a society. I mean, I know you talked about the computers and all this stuff. I mean, if we look at just, you know, a couple of decades back, TV was limited, right?
Yes,
you had a few hours of TV time and it ended early. You didn't have all these channels that we have now and access to every information and at the palm of your hands. So that was one. Then you have all these new technologies now with all the blue rays and all the lights that's beaming up to your brain and stuff. So you're getting excited. And if you don't mind, spend a little bit of time to share with us how that functions in terms of the lights and the impact and how it kind of creates us to be like wide awake, especially around the sleeping time. So you have that. And then you mentioned something about the The REM and the cycles, the sleep cycles. I think like that would be great to highlight a little bit, for our audiences. You mentioned sleep apnea, and so and maybe we can define a little better for the folks, and then we can go into like what can be the measures to really help and break down the acronym as well to get there. So that just so we can get through that whole experience of like what is it that we do, because you also mentioned it regulates diabetes, it prevents dementia, blood pressure. All the stuff. I mean, hello, we need that. I mean, if we can do all that stuff, we'd be healthier people. We'd be better. We won't be cranky. Because I tell you, when I'm sleeping, I'm super cranky, and I think everybody can relate to that.
Yes, so the light, okay, so there's something happened to all of us. We had the background of our addiction to cell phones. We're all addicted. If you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is reach out for the cell phone, we are addicted, right? We all are. It's bigger than any drug, right? That's a sign. And so what happened with coronavirus? So people started working from home. And then the home, when you work from home, you take your work into your bedroom. So work become your bedroom. See, bedroom is only for sex and sleep, not for worrying, snoring, or working. That's what we are doing, right? So there's also a term called coronosomnia, because the fear of corona. Hey, if you have a sneeze, you might think you have corona, right? You're worried of a lot of things. So corona change, we already had the back drop of, cell phone usage. And so what happens when you're in bed and when you open any of the devices, especially in bedroom, because there's no ambient light, the light from your phone or your computer or your tablet, it's too bright. So it goes straight into the eye and goes to the tract that goes to the brain and tells the brain, hey, it's still daytime, there's no need. And the big powerful hormone that we have to put to sleep is called melatonin. Mela means darkness. It's never going to happen in light, right? So we are shifting the secretion of the most powerful hormone that we have. So people, we are all smart. We want to take melatonin. Guess what? Just like alcohol, you need more. So the body gets tolerance. It's not its own natural thing. It kind of says, I don't like that. We need more of it. Same thing with alcohol, right? Same thing with sleeping pills. The dosage becomes the body gets tolerance. And like any other addictive drug, it gets tolerance. So there's no way we can supplement. I'm not a huge fan of melatonin. I use melatonin only for jet lag and clock problems. I don't use it to put to sleep. So that's you wanted me to talk about the impact of light, the light, especially in bedroom and dark environment, is really bad for us.
Well, thank you, Doc. Now, that's a specific beam light, or does it have any type of light, or
Any
is it blue?
light, any light. The eyes are looking for the light and it goes. See, if you look at babies, they wake up at the crack of dawn because the light. We are creatures of this light. That's called the circadian rhythm. We revolve around it. The sun is the one that we are, just like the plants go towards the sun, we are all around that sun and the external environment. It's a natural. We are the, you know, we are in that's why if you put people in dark caves, they've done experiments, everything is messed up, And so that's what happens when you don't sleep well or have long shift or shift work. Your hormones, your way, it's called the temperature drop. It's called the temperature nadir, the lowest point of the core body temperature. Just below that is just before that is when all these hormones are secreted. So the cortisol, the growth hormone, all goes out of whack when you don't sleep well.
Thank you, Doctor. You mentioned something about you're not a big fan of supplementing with melatonin, but you did mention it as a tool when you jet lag and travel. You're
Correct.
going to just expand on that, like why?
All right, so remember, melatonin does not put you to sleep. It just changes the time when you go to sleep, right? So when you have jet lag, I have a chapter in that in my book. I just came from a big, European tour, I mean, trip, 8 hours. Nobody in our family had jet lag because I prepared them for that. So I did. I personally took some melatonin. So the beauty of melatonin is you have to take it 2, 3 hours prior. Right. So when you are in jet lag, your body is here, but your internal clock is way there. Right. Let's say you're leaving, I'm in Nashville, I leave at 8 p.m. And then I reach Europe, you know, in 8 hours. So that's like 4 o'clock. You know, I'm deep asleep, but you have to go and work. I mean, or start, but your body is still stuck, right? So it's still sleepy. It's even worse when you leave at daytime and then you go somewhere and it's nighttime and you have to go sleep, but your body is still daytime. You see, so that's when you need an extra boost of more melatonin in your body. And that's puts you to sleep. So melatonin, that's why your body has to be naive to melatonin. So when you get that boost, you go to sleep. And I slept great. So I did it for 2 days. I got over it and I caught up with a new time, you know, when I went there and when I came back.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, I travel a lot personally, and you're
Yes.
right. 14 hours to 15 hours trips, on a
Yeah.
long, flight, and there's 7, sometimes 9 hours difference in real
Yes.
terms.
Yeah.
And I have not used melatonin, so now I'm gonna start using it,
Yes.
just so I can compensate and get, nicely mellow when I, get to the destination and back. So thank you for that. So now let's talk about the cycle, the sleep cycle. How does that work? And how important is it to really get that deep, sleep? And what are the different types of cycles?
All right, so there are two basic, stages. It's called non-REM and REM, right? The word REM means rapid eye movement. Non-REM means there's no eye movements. So non-REM sleep is divided into three stages: stage one, stage two, and stage three. REM is divided into tonic and phasic. So we all enter through non-REM sleep. You know, that's why we have a lot of non-REM sleep in the beginning of the night. So people ask me, what's the problem if I sleep later? So you have to sleep early to get that non-REM sleep. The most restorative sleep is stage three of non-REM sleep. People, if you ask 100 people, almost 80% of them will say the REM sleep is the best for you. No, it's actually the REM, your mind is very active. That is good for healing, memory consolidation. If you want to have a fight with your boss or whoever you don't like, you have all that in your REM sleep, but you don't act out because your body is paralyzed. You need it for healing. But for deep rest, it depends, the stage three, I call it the sweet stage. So what happened? You get more non-REM sleep early in the night and more REM sleep in the later part of the night. And REM is crazy on the heart. There's a lot of heart changes. That's why some people die in their sleep. Usually they die between 3 or 4. That's when you have more REM. That's where your heart goes erratic and has irregular heart rate called arrhythmias, and you die. So it's a timing of sleep, and sleepwalking, sleep talking, all that happens early in the night. Children, night terrors happen, and nightmare happens in REM sleep that happens during the later part of the night. So understanding this, so in 8 hours you go through the different stages and cycles. So it's so beautiful. It's simple, but you know how if you look at it at a granular level, so many hormones are changing: norepinephrine, dopamine, GABA, melatonin. They're going in and out. And it goes in and out. Sometimes we go lighter stage and wake up, and then people, what they do, they have their phone next to you or the clock, and then they look at the clock and say, "Wow, it's 3 o'clock. Wow, it's only 3 o'clock." Then it increases the cognitive activity, and then you can go to sleep. So I have my phone, I have my alarm set up in my bathroom. I don't even have it near me, because once you look at it, the game's over, right? So that's, we'll talk that in a strategy. So in brief, that's the cycles and stages.
Thank you. And that is scary too, like what you just, stated, the fact, well, the idea of all the stuff happening, I get it, but the idea of, like, people get cardiac, arrest, during
Yes.
sleep,
Yes.
but because they transiting from one system to the other, or
No,
because their body just.
REM sleep is very chaotic. There's a lot of norepinephrine activity happens in REM sleep. So that puts a lot of stress on your heart. So when
Wow.
those changes happen in your brain, those secretion of chemical transmits all over your body, and then sends impulses into your heart. You have more norepinephrine, adrenaline going on in REM sleep. You never know.
Oh, that, hope there's a strategy for that too, because
Yes.
we want people to kind of figure out a way to control that a little bit, right? I mean, I'm sure
Yes.
there's a way, right?
Yes.
So we'll
And
talk
then,
about that. Yeah.
right. All
All right.
right. Tell me when
All
you're ready.
right. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's break it down. So how do we get people. Well, first of all, I mean, it's amazing. I'm hearing you, like the way you kind of talk about all these things that are happening at the same time. You know, it's kind of like you broke it down to our folks right now as easy as, you know, one, two, three, because now we can understand like what's going on and when, and the little things make a big difference. I mean, as you stated here. So let's talk about this strategy. What we do, how do we go about this, you know, in terms of like getting better health, better, you know, through our better sleep?
So when I see somebody with poor sleep, I have to ask them, is it, do you have a medical problem that's not, you know, preventing you from sleeping? You know, sometimes your heart problem, lung problem, thyroid problem, you don't sleep that well because shortness of breath. So I make sure. Then I ask them about the mental health. If you have anxiety, depression, you're not going to sleep well, you know, even or PTSD. Then I go through the history. If you're snoring, if you're tired, then I look for sleep disorders like sleep apnea, restless leg. You know, restless leg is one of those simple conditions. People are restless in the evening, and when they lie, they're fidgety. It's a very simple thing. One of the most important causes of restless legs is iron deficiency. When you supplement iron, the restless legs get better than you sleep. So some people also move their legs in their sleep. So these are simple things. So I look in for your medical problems, if you have sleep disorder, if you have psychological problems. I rule all that out. Then you're here. You have poor quality of sleep. So that's called insomnia. So it's either starting or maintaining. That's called sleep onset or sleep maintenance. So when I know that's your thing, I have an acronym. I've perfected the art. I've tested it on many, many, you know, I've helped so many people. You know, I also have it on my website as a sleep course. So I formed an acronym. It's called SleepNow, SleepNow. So all your viewers can take it down. So let's go. S is the schedule. For any plan to succeed, we have to have a plan, right? And a schedule. So the best time to sleep is between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., right? So this is the most important point I'm going to make. Is when people don't sleep at, you know, they go to bed at 10, they can't fall asleep till midnight. Hurricane, do you know what people are doing? They go to bed at 9 p.m. Now you're struggling for 3 hours. So I tell people, if you go to bed at 10 and can't fall asleep till midnight, go only to sleep closer to midnight, but make sure you wake up at 6 a.m. No snoozing, no 7 a.m. So you create something called sleep restriction. And if you restrict your sleep and have consolidated sleep, in about 2 weeks, you will start sleeping better. And you will start going to bed at 11:30. Once you start sleep at 11:30, you can go to 11, and then, you know, sometimes 15 minutes or 30 minutes, you know, in the other way. But make sure you wake up at 6 and no naps during this time. So this is the most important. This is a scientifically proven method. It's called sleep restriction. Next, the acronym is L. Low light, low noise, low temperature, right? Remember, I touched on melatonin is only secreted in darkness and low temperature. That's why when we go on this fancy tropical vacation, nobody sleeps because it's hot. Melatonin is not secreted, right? Of course, you know, when there's a lot of noise, it's not secreted. So make sure your bedroom is dark and cold. Temperature 65, 68, you know, lower than 70 helps melatonin. So that's that. So the next is the E. E in electronic. Make sure you don't use your electronics at least 30 minutes prior to going to sleep. The light from the phone is so bad for you. It emits the light and also is tempting. Keep it away. Set an alarm. You know, for that time. So in the morning, I literally wake up and, you know, press the stop alarm. I don't hit snooze. I don't have a chance. And it's not close to my bed. I don't hit. I'm literally way, you know, walking.
You
So
got
when
to
I
go to
walk, my sleep is gone. So,
it.
and then the dings and the notification, somebody's texting you, or you won't liking, you looking at your likes on your Facebook or Instagram. So all those temptations are not there in our lives. It's away. So make sure, phone, I tell people at least 1 hour, but practically 30 minutes. So then the next E is exercise. Make sure you don't exercise 4 hours prior to going to sleep because the end product of every exercise is what, Hurricane? You
Drilling
may.
it,
What's that?
a drilling it.
Yes, and cortisol and temperature. Your body heat is high. And remember, after your body's hot, it's not going to secrete melatonin. So I exercise in the morning, but if you can't, make sure if you're going to bed at 10, make sure you're done with exercising at 6. But it's hard, what I'm trying to say. Maybe by, at least, 2 hours by 8, you're done exercising. In today's world, 24-hour gym, it doesn't work. So no exercise at least 4 hours ideally, but at least 2 hours prior to going to sleep. So then is P in the acronym sleep, SLEP. P means powering off your mind. Everybody who's listened so far, like Dr. John, we've heard of all this, but these two techniques are my own. I've trademarked them. So here, everybody, one technique how we power off your mind is called vivid imagination. Vivid imagination is a common term, but I use it to help people go to sleep. I have used it in my own life for the last 30 years. So when I lay in bed, I'm not taking reality. I'm not taking any problems of the world. I'm actually the director of my show. If I watched a TV show, I started making my own. Or if there's a game tomorrow, I see that my strategy of what I'm going to do. So the vivid, and I have my dream, start thinking about it, and then I go to sleep. And then the next technique is yoga nidra. Yoga nidra, there's several types of yoga, but nidra means nothingness. It's an old Sanskrit word. You lay down like a corpse with your palms high, and then you start thinking about, the muscles on your head, the neck, and the chest, and go all the way down. So this is called, muscle relaxation or cognitive behavior therapy of insomnia. So progressive muscle relaxation. I'm combining that as that. So these are the two techniques. Works great. So that's the P. The next is NO. No to worries, right? I tell people to worry between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. I'm ready, getting ready to your show. Yesterday, I got ready. And if there's something, I write it down, but I don't take it into my bed. I leave it. So bedroom, remember I told you, is only for, sex and sleep, not for worrying or snoring. So you write it down. So that's how we do. And then I tell people, imagine a TSA screener. As you enter the bedroom, if you have electronics, beep. If you're taking worries into, your bed, beep. If you're having all these tight clothes, metals, clink clank, beep. You have to leave it all out, right? And then the last is W, win by losing and keeping everything very simple. You have to lose. We are in this win-win-win hustle culture. We want sleep to be an on and off switch, but sleep is an art. It's a dimmer. We can't hustle it. So you have to lose yourself. You can win here by losing yourself. So that's my acronym. That's the seven, the subtitle of my book is Seven Proven Sleep Strategies for people. They can read my book or listen to what I said or even take a course. I have an online course for that. So SLEPNOW, sleep schedule. L is low light, low noise, low temperature. The next E is no to electronics at least 30 minutes prior. Then the next E is no to exercise 4 hours prior. P is power off your mind by doing vivid imagination and yoga nidra. NO, no to worries. And W is win by losing. So all these things came out of great night's sleep. I woke one day in the morning and said, "This is it." The title, Nobody's Sleeping, on my book came after a great night of sleep. Great things happen. We heal, we grow. I have discovered the power of sleep, and that's why I'm sharing with everyone.
Well, thank you. Well, that's quite a lot. So I want to just touch on a few things because,
Yes.
first of all, I have to say, I'm listening to you, and which is a lot of us know what you're saying, as you said, but we don't apply at all. As a matter of
No.
fact, we do the opposite of it. The alarm, everybody's got one next to them, or they have their phone set up, for the
Yes.
alarm, and you snooze and it's 10 minutes and it keeps snoozing. That's one. Two, the light, you're right. We bring in that phone in and we're still busy and we have discussions. You talked about heat. Like Lily said, the temperature should not be over 70. And you're right. If it's hot, we all have this. Oh, it's too hot. I can't fall asleep. Well, now we know the melatonin is not kicking. But it's like we don't put one on one together. Unless you are told by an expert such as yourself, these are things that are not public. You're supposed to know about them. You just wing them because it's part of life, right? And I think everybody should literally listen to this. I think everybody should follow your sleep now, concept, because it will make their life easier and better. The concept, as you said, the alarm is in the bathroom, so when it rings, you just gotta get up and do it, and now you're done. Your adrenaline's kicking, now your body's live and you're moving. But you're almost putting a time frame for every single action that we need to do. You talked about the gym. You're right. I mean, men again, We are a 24-hour gym, you know, kind of world right now, right? Why? Exercise is important. There is no doubt. But you're right. If we compensate one versus the other, or we favor one versus the other, then we kind of offset this thing and just in the cycle, because you're not going to get the full, I guess, body healing process, because you do need the exercise for all the other obvious stuff. But you also need to rest to get revamped. And so that's the thing. But again, people don't know these balances. Well, at least maybe most of us don't. And so hopefully, you know, we can get that message to people so they can understand what the processes are and how we can go from one end to the other and how we can live our lives better. I just love the concept where you have to like have a little metal detector in your brain. You know, you walk through it like beep, nothing actually, leave it all outside the bedroom.
Yes.
Right? But that, you know, like I love that visual, because just when you were talking about, I'm just like imagining myself, because I use similar stuff like, you know, with attitude, right? You know, in the business world, if you have attitude and you're talking to customers, you know, you keep all that put in a box. And then when you take, you know, you leave, you can grab your personal biases and all stuff and start screaming if you want, but not when you are doing the work. Well, it's kind of like, you know, it kind of reminds you of that. You walk in, you have to drop everything. You can't take anything with you. And that's a big transition. I mean, I think if people start applying some of these things, there is no way. I mean, I know that you've already demonstrated this over and over that it works, and I can just see your energy. Like, I love it. I mean, you're rested, you're not stressed. And that's the other thing, doctor. So stress is a fact of life. I mean, today's society, you know, here's the thing. We've become a society of business, you know, oriented, you know, individuals. It's all about business. The 90s, for example, just back then, it wasn't even long time ago when you didn't bring your work home. Your computer stayed at the office at 5 p.m. and you go back at 9 and check things out in emails. Now you get an email at 10 o'clock because someone is not sleeping, you know, at 11. And then you're almost forced to actually respond to it. And now you said you're awake, you're done. Those are like some of the problems we have today. You said it. I mean, sometimes you work late, you come out to the gym. Again, we get all that cortisol and all the stuff is pumping and that's it. You're not going anywhere. Your body is hot. You're right. The melatonin is not going to kick in. So all these things are real, but none of us are. And again, I'm generalizing, but really, I doubt that we all put it together in one piece, unless you have an expert such as yourself that we've seen. Now, you mentioned a couple of things, doctor, PTSD, and all these things like depression and things. Like, how do they affect someone? I mean, can someone with those types of diagnoses be able to still maneuver through it with your sleep formula?
Correct. So anxiety, depression, PTSD are, and some of those are common disorders that are very closely linked with sleep. Because when you don't sleep well, your symptoms of anxiety, depression is worse, right? So we can reverse it by sleeping better. So, and that helps with your anxiety and depression. And regarding PTSD, you have more nightmares, and then you're restless, you move a lot. It's called limb movement disorder. So so all of these disorders will have some changes in the REM sleep. That's why if you look at antidepressants, most of the antidepressants work by changing the REM sleep architecture. So that's how it changes. So by sleeping better, you know, you can heal better. So that's why I get a lot of referrals from psychiatrists. In my book, I think it's on page 84, I have the cycle, poor sleep. At bottom, I have anxiety, depression. It's a vicious cycle. You know, anxiety, depression comes to poor sleep. It's a very simple thought process I had. I put it in there so people are able to visualize. And of course, you know, hopefully we have some time to talk about sleep apnea, which is a huge topic that can affect all parts. So all those three disorders, I think if you can somehow focus whatever I taught and sleep better, you know, the psychiatrists, when people are on so many medications, they come and seek my help and I teach them how to sleep. And then their medications are lower. They are in a better mood. You know, depression is, you know, and also, you know, mood disorders all get improved by sleeping better.
Well, thank you. By the way, we have all the time for you, Doc. I mean, I have you. I can't let you go until we get all the goods from you. Yeah. But you know, thank you for sharing that. And something you mentioned earlier about, like, you know, you start at 10 to go to sleep, you know, at that point, and you have to get up at 6. Now, is that because that's first light? Is that you know, the concept?
Yeah. So society still works in this 8 to 5 or 9 to 5. So if you can prioritize by that 6 o'clock, that's when the sun usually rises too. And remember, if you go to bed at 10, you have more non-REM sleep earlier on. So we'll get that. You don't want to mess up your, clock to later. But shifting your clock, what happened? You're shifting your biorhythms. The secretion of certain hormones, the when your temperature drops, the core body temperature drops, and then that has a lot of impact on the secretion of so many hormones, like growth hormone is secreted. The thyroid hormone is the one of those things that is not secreted in sleep. It just stops when you sleep. So people who have hypothyroid problems, they have to check into how they're sleeping. And prolactin, the women who are nursing, that is really secreted in sleep. And children, babies, they need to sleep more because growth hormone is secreted maximum in sleep, right? Our grandma used to say, "Hey, you look taller in your sleep. You grow in your sleep." That is literally the truth. The surge of growth hormone is so much in deep sleep. So that's why we all need, like I said, our brain is a computer. We need to just lay down and unwind so that it gives a break.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jim. It's amazing because, although you said society today, we have this 8 or 9, shift and where
Yes.
everything starts. But historically,
Yeah.
everybody got up at sunrise
Yeah.
and pretty much ended the day at sundown or,
Yeah.
sunset. So, somehow we lost that. And that was actually the best, thing for all of us as humans, right? I mean, you're talking about farmers back in the days, or even just general people. That's how it was, right? You would get up in the first light, and when it gets a little red in the sky, and it's over, and you have plenty of time, and you probably crash and sleep before even 10 o'clock because that's it. There's nothing else going on. There's no distraction. Today, as you said, the distractions are all around us. What the TV is one, right? Listen, I mean, I'm guilty. I mean, I have a TV in my room. I have actually someone that told me you shouldn't have one in your room because that's where you get distracted. Now I learned not to use it, so that's the good news.
Yeah.
But it is possible, right? And again, listen, I have a picture of my son last night. I just looked at him and like he slept with his phone in his hand. I mean,
Oh, no.
he hasn't. I mean, I was just I made fun of him a little bit. We had fun with it. But like, dude, what's up? I mean, you had your phone and you just crashed and the phone is still up. And why? I mean, you should just put it away. But this is a new thing. And that leads me to the discussion about children and sleep, because I think you mentioned that earlier. That's actually the next generation, right? And they're kind of destroying themselves now with all this tech. How was that going to impact them, today and tomorrow and the future of our world? I mean, because it's in their hands, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of personal to me because, a lot of, I get a lot of, my friends, and they say, "Hey, my children is not sleeping well. My da son's daughter not sleeping well. My son's not sleeping well. My daughter's sleeping. I need to bring," but they don't come. And then one of our kids, such kids went to college and ended it all. So I personally felt so guilty that, that kid had the sleeping problem. And so I reach out this message to everyone. If your child is not sleeping, that's a cry for help. Children, till they leave for college, like let's rewind. All of us slept great when we were at home and in school, because life happens afterwards. So if a child is not sleeping either due to athletics, bullying, stress, or academics, we got to pull that child back and peel and say, "Why are you not sleeping?" If you peel that, underneath is either anxiety or depression. So we have to focus. We have to stop that, because if you let that go, it compounds. So I mentioned that in my book several times, and I talk multiple. I'm talked in schools. That's one of my passions, to teach children. Is as a parent, as a teacher, if your child is not sleeping, stop everything and go and see why the child's not sleeping and address that. Because children will never tell you the stress or the depression or the anxiety. They will keep it, but they manifest as lack of sleep. That's why we have a responsibility to address that and take care of it at a young age.
So does that start like early, like let's say mid school or like high school? What is typical, like when people go away from the house because now they have, all the college fun and they don't
Yes,
care
exactly.
about, say, listen, I've been there. I know how it is. It's, you go to college, it's fun, right?
College is
It
one big party, you know. You nobody sleeps in college. You go to bed late, wake up late, schedule class late. So, but then when you come back, when you start a job, 8 to 9 to 5 job, you have that demarcation. But what happened with today with after COVID, we are working from home.
Remote.
That cut off, that standard is gone. So people are carrying on the bad behavior, and I think this is the new pandemic. This is a global pandemic, the lack of sleep. And the irony is there's no good information for people. And guess what? The most searched topic, one of the most searched topic in Google is sleep. So that's why I've taken my mission and do all these things, because there's no experts. Most experts are busy doing the right thing. A lot of experts, not so experts, are talking about sleep, because when there's so much demand, you're going to create false or pseudo scientists, like I say. Because what I've done to maintain a practice and write a book and promote this, it's most people can't do it, because I have that energy from my previous practice, and I have my energy from good sleep. So I have said, one of my friends, colleagues said, if we don't get in front and tell the good information, people are going to get the bad information. There's so much information of holding your hand, pressing here to go to sleep. I tried it. It hurt. I didn't go to sleep, but it hurt. So I tell people, if you want the holistic way, people want pills, instant way, you can't. We have it. This is one skill. Like you work out, you have your exercise. If you train what I did, you have your power of sleep. Once you exercise and sleep, man, you can conquer the world. So this is my life mission. And I'm going all over the world and preaching the sound sleep, the natural, holistic way.
Well, thank you. Now, Doctor, one thing that we have come to become part of, that has become part of our society is coffee and caffeine, with all the drinks. I mean, we hear this all the time, like, oh, if I drink coffee, I'm not going to sleep. I mean, how true is it, and how bad is it for us, to drink a late, cup of coffee, or, now with all these Red Bulls and all the, the extra caffeine in the drinks? What is the trick about it? I mean, do we drink it? I mean, do we not drink it? Is it good? Is it bad? And how does it impact your sleep?
Caffeine is actually good for you. So if you're drinking caffeine for the taste of it, that's great. But if you are drinking caffeine to stay awake, then you have a sleep debt. You with me? So caffeine can act about 6 hours, but in vulnerable people who have insomnia, it can act up to 10 to 12 hours. So I tell people, don't drink caffeine past 2 o'clock if you can't sleep. So other than that, if you're enjoying a morning cup of Joe, great. I drink it because it's great for our body, but I don't drink it to keep myself awake. So that's the truth about, caffeine.
Well, what about before sleep, like at night? I mean, some people sleep, like you go to dinner and you get you want an espresso, latte, what do you want? I mean, is that a good practice or bad practice?
Bad practice. So, because it's going to increase your heart rate. It's a stimulant, and then you can't sleep. I still remember the same thing happened to me. Hey, once you drink, I said, okay, let me try. I didn't sleep the whole night. So there are people who are listening say, hey, I can handle it. But I believe 90% of adults, who are 45 or older will not be able to drink caffeine and go to bed. Some youngsters can, but I don't recommend caffeine, especially if you can't sleep. I don't drink caffeine past 2 p.m.
What about those caffeinated drinks like the Red Bulls and stuff? And some people just keep pumping them up, especially if they go on party or whatever.
No, it's
how's
absolutely
that?
Bad. Not only the stimulant, it is a stimulant. You wake up and then your heart's going because most people are using that. You have to understand why they're using it, right? You're using it to stay awake. It's clearly you have to address the fundamental problem why they ended up there. Because they are operating on a sleep debt. So let's operate, let's address the sleep debt and fix it rather than putting a mask on it by drinking these energy drinks.
Well, thank you, Doc. Now I know we're pressing time. There's a couple of things I want to, ask at least before we close.
Yes.
One is you mentioned something about iron deficiency and, and restless sleep or restless legs.
Restless legs.
Is there like a correlation with food and nutrients, and sleep? I mean, other than iron.
So it's a very good question. When we talk about, weight loss and diet, We have to address sleep because sleep is the foundation on these two are built. Because when we don't sleep well, we are changing the secretion of leptin and ghrelin. Everybody heard about that. You know, leptin lowers the appetite, ghrelin increases the appetite. When we don't sleep well, the ratios are reversed. We have more ghrelin. And so that's why. So if you're planning to lose weight, you have to sleep better. So make sure you focus on your sleep. And then by simple fact, guess what? The more time you're awake, you are reaching out, you're more time to eat. That's why the night shift workers, they have more incidence of obesity because they're trying to fight sleep and they awake more and they eat more. Simple thing.
Interesting. So, interesting.
Yes, very. We could talk about sleep for like 6 hours. One day I can talk about it.
Well, maybe we'll bring you back and we can talk about all the other stuff because we haven't talked about sleep apnea.
Yes.
If you have a couple of minutes, you want to just, you know, go over it quickly.
Yeah, it's very important. Sleep apnea is the word before is called obstructive. There's, you know, your back of your throat gets obstructed. And then that happens, your brain triggers a response to keep you awake. And so when you don't sleep well, it creates the catecholamines or stress hormones, and then your blood pressure, you know, diabetes and all that affect us. People are afraid to go and get help for sleep apnea because of the, you know, testing. Now there is home sleep testing. There's so many new devices that are available. So if you snore, make sure you rule sleep apnea out. Very simple.
Thank you. And one final question.
Yes.
Male versus female, you know, sleep patterns, or are they the same, or is there a major difference in terms of how we operate? Because we do have different hormones, different, you know, I guess body functions in a way, right? You know.
So that's why, you know, I have a chapter for women and sleep in my book, for children, mental health, diet. So great question. When you take insomnia, 2/3 of all my clients are women, and women are wired that way. So women don't sleep well. But when you talk about it, sleep apnea, it's more common in men. But when women attain menopause, the drop in estrogen also makes them more vulnerable for weight gain and sleep apnea. So women's sleep is bad all throughout their life because of hormonal changes, raising children, you know, and then menopause happens. So and they are also caregivers. So all throughout their lives, they don't sleep well. You know, many times my wife would say, hey, do you know the children came past curfew? Do you know there was a thunderstorm? And I don't know. I'm sound asleep. So insomnia is more common in women. Sleep apnea is more common in men.
All right. And so, but the formula that the sleep now will work for both. And if they apply they should be able to all get, you know, so there is a solution. We have your solution. So that works. Yeah. Now the book is available in all our typical, so Amazon, the typical
Barnes
stuff.
And Noble, all the booksellers are available. It's selling like hotcakes. It's number one on Amazon for sleep disorders. And I have my website called Sleep Fix Academy. Follow me on social media. I am Dr. Sleep Fix. So I give tips every day. I'm on TikTok and Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm everywhere promoting this. I've been doing this, you know, I'm not deep into it. I just started. My book was released in March. So I'm a couple of months into it. But, you know, my passion is to spread the message around.
Well, doctor, we needed you. We needed this show, and we do need your work and to spread to the world. Hopefully, we can help as many get, you know, better sleep so they can get better life and become better as to their families, to their coworkers, and to their society. So I think it's contagious if we get them right, right? And everybody else will be doing better, behave better, maybe less depression and all the bad stuff that can happen to us. So thank you so much.
Yes, sleep affects head to toe. So everyone, sleep well, be well, and let's go sleeping.
That's it. Well, doctor, thank you so much for being with us today. I really enjoyed this chat. It was powerful. And I will have the link to your website on the description of the show so people can actually link up to you. Then we'll connect and I'll share all your stuff. You know, as soon as I see you, I'm going to start resharing because I think your message is just great for the world. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Hurricane. I appreciate it, buddy.
No problem. My pleasure. So folks, there you have it. We've talked deep about sleep. And so let's sleep deep, you know, and until the next time, American Age, we'll be talking soon. We'll see you and new day, new show, new topic. Bye.